Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on a Texans game day. Week one, largely in the books outside of two Monday Night Football games. There's the late game between the Chargers and the Raiders at 9. But, of course, the game that we're all most interested in, a huge game for the Houston Texans as they welcome in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the home opener at NRG, and it's a Liberty whiteout. And most importantly, it is the battle to stay away from 0-2 because that is a really tough place to be. I was talking about it earlier, and I gave you the statistic that I had seen per Jesse Palmer. Since 1990, 12.2% of teams that started 0-2 have made the playoffs. Like, that's not somewhere that you want to be. You obviously want to be on the other side where you're 2-0. And interestingly enough, I was looking, obviously you can't get there as the Texans, but I was looking at the teams that are 2-0, because obviously the Colts are in that group of teams that would now have probably a 78.6% chance of making the playoffs. There's the Bills, who are 2-0. Makes sense. Bengals, who are 2-0, which we'll talk about that here in a second. I mentioned the Colts. Those are the teams in the AFC. Then you have the Eagles. Makes sense. The Packers. Sure. And then three teams in the NFC West. The Niners, the Cardinals, and the Rams. And then the Seahawks are 1-1, and their one loss is against the Niners. The AFC West. What's happening over here?
The only teams they lose to are themselves. They're amongst themselves. Look, and the Cardinals are something of, I mean, they're always like one of those squads that are sort of like pesky.
They almost blew it yesterday,
man.
Yeah,
they almost did, but I don't know if they're necessarily legit, but they are 2-0. Makes a difference.
The end of that game was disgusting. Cardinals-Panthers.
Yes.
It was 27 to what, 15 at a point, and then the Panthers scored.
It was 27-9 or whatever it was. I thought that game was over.
Panthers scored 13 fourth quarter points. It was just ugly. I'm glad that, I don't know if you were like me watching this on Red Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And with Red Zone, once you had the last game, they cut that joint off. That was the last game. I was like, thank you.
I don't want to
see any more of this. Let me know when it's over. A game for which I did not have that feeling. The second game that was with that in the afternoon slate. Eagles-Chiefs. The Eagles end up, as I mentioned, 2-0 versus the Chiefs. A 20-17 victory there. This makes the Chiefs 0-2 for the first time since 2014 when they missed the playoffs.
Yeah. So no one is, or maybe I'm wrong, is anybody here going to say, yeah, you know, the reign is over. They're not going to get, nobody's going to say that, right?
Not quite. No.
But I think you need to say they've got, like, it's not just they played a couple of really good teams that you know, and that's going to happen, and they barely, you know, got beat, et cetera, because they were kind of in it a little bit yesterday as well. You can't say they don't have problems.
Well,
you can't say they don't have problems. They have problems.
I wonder if the chat, because I've seen a couple people, I don't know how to feel about this, but they kind of looking at Mahomes a little bit like it's something going on. Because, like, I understand they struggling offensively, but I seen a couple people saying, man, Mahomes throwing downfield ain't the same how it was before. I wonder if people starting to look at Mahomes a little bit.
Well, that's part of the issue. They have issues. They might, because of Mahomes and the defense, and they might be able to rally and get there again, kind of like the Astros, which we're going to get to in a little bit. They might be able to rally, but are they the same boogeyman, to use the Astros term that Figgy likes to use?
No. And, I mean, look, you're looking at their wide receiving core, and I'll stay to the wide receiving core. We can talk a little bit about Travis Kelce if we want. Tyquan Thornton looks like their best guy right now. And I don't say this to be any level of like negative to Tyquan Thornton, but that's not what you want.
No.
And they've been dealing with this for a while. But then with Xavier Worthy's injury, you look up and you go, oh, yeah, this is what happens when this thing gets depleted. And as much as that defense is good, it does not look like at the same level. Now, it's early on in the season. I think we can use that caveat for a lot of teams, understanding that with the length of the season, teams ramp up, especially without, you know, the benefit of as much preseason type stuff. They specifically absolutely do this time and time again. So that's one of the things that should keep the end and decline talk at bay, because they do this thing where they go through the season and then by the time you hit December, they're starting to charge up. But as of right now, you do look up and you go, hey, just schedule wise alone, you're put in this weird place where you're 0-2. and it doesn't look like by any means the best version of the Chiefs.
It really is to me kind of like what the Astros are. Like, you know, they're the Chiefs. You know, they're the Astros. You know, they have Mahomes. You know, they have Altuve.
They're always going to be a threat.
They're always going to be a threat. And I guess they are, and both sides still are. But they're not as scary, and they have issues.
And even Travis Kelce, man, he's looking like he's about 37, 38 right now, man.
Yeah, he is.
Like a lot of drops, that drop that end up being an interception.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this might be over with. I was talking to Ron about this because he was kind of going crazy on Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's still Travis Kelce though, man.
Haven't we said that about the Astros too? Like, oh, that's still.
Yeah. I'm like, even though Kelce, I think last year he had like maybe 800 yards or close to, I forgot what it was, but I'm like, that's still good.
Mm-hmm.
But he might be right. It might be towards the end.
Yeah. And don't forget, we got like the equivalent of best shape of my life talk for Travis Kelce, where he was like, yeah, you know, I needed to slim down and get myself back.
That's always a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe that's how this thing is coming around. I don't know. One of those teams in that division will have a nice lead over the Chiefs because Chargers Raiders tonight as well. Some other things around the NFL. So the Chiefs, obviously one of those teams in the AFC that you're looking at as some level contender if the Texans prove to be the type of team that we believe them to be. One of those other teams you would think is the Cincinnati Bengals. However, it seems like they are going to be without their quarterback for a good 3 months as a possibility. This turf toe thing is popping up. And we're
third-degree turf toe that requires surgery?
Yeah, this thing.
What is that?
This is wild what we're seeing here. In fact, can I get Marty Jaramillo? He was on CBS Sports kind of describing, because we've seen turf toe pop up enough. I kind of wanted to get a little bit more of an explanation on what is happening here, as Joe Burrow obviously going to miss some time due to it.
Turf toe is a tear of the underside of the ligaments of the big toe. So if this is a foot, it'd be the underside of the ligament. So it's a hyperextension injury. Extremely painful. It significantly affects running, push off, change direction. And why is it so important? Well, 60 to 70% of our body weight is supported by that big toe. Surgery is quite rare, but these ligaments still need to heal. So I fully expect them to miss between 3 and 6 weeks. Now, there's a little bit of a litmus test at about week 3. What is that? At about week 3, they actually customize an insole for his cleat that has a steel plate on the undersurface of his foot to basically offload that big toe. Now, when they test him with that steel plate, if he still has instability and pain with running and push-off, unfortunately, then he still needs time to rest. So that's a real litmus test at about week 3. But great.
So there you go. Like, that's what we're looking at. But, man, I think we're getting to this place where now we're missing, you know, Joe Burrow again. This is yet another injury for him. It's every year, though.
What, since 2020, 21?
I mean, the Bengals have to eat this because that line did not look very good. And the defense, again, does not look solid enough. Like, the Bengals might be in a place where it's early. I don't think you can quite do this. But I'm in the place where I'm almost like, all right, we can write them off.
Almost, yeah. I think you can, because he said 3 to 6 weeks. I've also seen maybe 2 months or more. That's a big issue. When
ESPN is saying 3 months.
3 months.
On theirs. Now, of course, like he said, depending on the severity, you might be able to have within like 3 weeks to a month, kind of see if there's a way to get this done. But if with that kind of timeline, do wonder if that's even anywhere near.
Yeah, I mean, it might come back to bite people who are agreeing with you, but I agree with you. I think you're almost to the place to just write them off.
And which that is a little bit of, I hate to use it, looking at injury that way, but a little bit of a godsend to the Texans. Mm-hmm. If they can get their own house in order. Like, we're still very much in that part of the season where the Texans have to look internally, establish your cruising altitude, and then we can look around. But once they get to that point, it does feel like there's maybe fewer of those teams that'll be in that same, stratosphere once you get to that point for the AFC. Some other things around the NFL. I want to go back to the AFC South, where the Jacksonville Jaguars, we mentioned that they lost this weekend. There's some things happening amongst them. Brian Thomas Jr., who is the best receiver for the Jaguars, he had a fantastic rookie year last year, looked really good. did not look that same way yesterday, and he kind of looked afraid at times in contact. This was Liam Cohen, the head coach of the Jags, being asked about Brian Thomas Jr.'s play and the seeming avoidance of contact from him.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I gotta go watch it, you know, and just go figure out what that, you know, was all about and what it looked like. Yeah, I gotta go take a look at that.
Boy, he was fighting it, wasn't he?
He wanted to say something there. I don't know what it was, but he wanted to say something.
I wish they had a little truth serum or like the narrator. What he's really thinking is, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah.
What he's really thinking is, why are you being a little B going across the middle?
See, that's it, Figgy.
It's not 1995. Yeah,
no, look.
Jason Senior-Horn ain't in there to hit you.
That's the worst thing that's the worst reputation an NFL player can have. That you use the word too, afraid. When you go there, that's hard to shake, number one, and it's hard to shake in your own locker room. That was a, and by the way, awful look for him. There was at least two or three plays where just cowering.
He was, yeah, like he was expecting the big hit, just kind of, yeah.
And the one in the front of the end zone, it wasn't even like he was afraid to go get the ball. Like the ball was just above his head, and he kind of like short-armed it, alligator-armed it. Like, just go get the ball, you know?
He better be hurt or something.
It's crazy. I don't know. It was a bad, bad look.
And you're talking about, like, being afraid and how that's a, you know, kind of a really bad thing to have put upon you. It's one thing if there was a certain era in the NFL where absolutely, like, that was Michael Irvin's whole thing is he's not afraid to go over the middle.
Yeah.
We're in 2025 where that's cool. Unless you play against the Texans. Like, that's the interesting thing is, who do you got next up on the schedule? Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr.?
Yeah.
Aziz Alshire? No?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to be mentioned. Yeah,
you might want to resolve that. Otherwise, you're going to be in a world of pain in various different ways. Somebody said Texas lay in the wood week three, and I appreciate you throwing in that pause in there. I understand what you're doing there. So, yeah, that's probably not a good look for the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are some other things around the NFL. And mind you, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year, which is like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I talked about injuries. First and foremost, this overtime game, I've got to admit, it changed my perspective for just that game only, where I was like, usually, you know my stance, overtime, get the game over with, let's go to the next one. You had Cowboys and Giants, a high-scoring game went into overtime, and I'm like, I want this to be old-school college where they just go back and forth. Because it was such nonsense, this football game. And ultimately, we get to a point where I think that you might be looking at a kicker in Brandon Aubrey that is the new it kicker. Like, the one that comes to mind for me is Sebastian Janikowski, but I'm sure there's other ones you can think of.
Janikowski would be it, yeah.
I think he might be the new it kicker.
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer
says... What was that guy from New Orleans, Anderson? Gary Anderson?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They
kick a, what is it, 62-yarder?
64-yarder.
Yeah. In order to win that one in overtime, even though I was rooting for a tie, I'm not going to lie. Like, both of these teams deserve
that
a tie.
That would have been great if it ended in the tie.
Oh, gosh.
But Brian Schottenheimer comes in after and he says, I would have had run him out there from 70.
I mean, Brandon, you're right. He is the, you know, like the Hall of Fame kickers, you know, the Gary Andersons, the Janikowskis. He is a weapon. I mean, the way they were playing it was just like, all right, let's just get to the 48, guys.
And they really were. I was like,
let's just get to the 48.
Did they kick it on third?
There? I don't remember if they did or not now, but just an absolute weapon that is, you know, that's one of those things, very low key, but not low key. Like, he becomes like fourth quarter, you have to start game planning around the opposing kicker.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
You got to try to keep him out of the field goal range.
You have to risk more. I mean, that's what the Giants were doing.
Morton Anderson is who you were thinking of.
Thank you, 832.
Yeah, but yeah, no, like he made some huge kicks. In fact, he made a kick at the end of regulation in order to tie that game.
Anderson was the one that missed the kick in Minnesota.
That's right. I was like, he was a kicker, right?
Yes.
Not quite the same. Not quite the same. But yeah. Like, I thought that was crazy. The Cowboys do get the victory. However, it might be Pyrrhic in some ways because they end up losing their starting center, Cooper Beebe, for 6 to 8 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
And that's something that they have to rely on. By the way, you know, some people might need to be apologizing back to the question of the day to Dak Prescott.
Looks good.
He looked really good.
He looked good. Although, on the other side, so did Russell Wilson.
Where did that come from?
He looked really good, too. He threw up that punt.
He's been a deep ball passer, like, since he left. Since he left
Denver?
Probably Denver, because I was like, when he left Seattle, he was really bad in Denver.
Yeah, he did it a lot in Pittsburgh, too. Mm-hmm. That one year he did it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just him and Pickens. Chuck it up there, dog. Yep. We'll make this work.
But, when he threw up that punt, I think that was overtime, up that punt, I'm like, yeah.
I will say,
that's the experience.
The Cowboys defense looks M-A-L-O bad.
Oh, wow.
Especially when it comes to deep passing, they ran like 90-something percent zone.
Mm-hmm.
This is not hard to tell. That's so unusual for a team at this level of football.
Even zone-heavy teams. You're going to lose.
90-some percent. Plus, I think one of those catches, like the Malik Nabers catch that everybody lost their minds about, the deep safety in that was it like a box safety. One of those guys that you come up, you expect to be a thumper.
Yeah.
And he's back, and I'm like, oh, that's probably not the way you play it. Except that's what Matt Eberflus is over there doing, is having that guy roll back that way. And then real quick, before we go, another – what the hell are they doing here? Did you see what happened for the Steelers as the Seahawks beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh? Caleb Johnson, the running back who came out of Iowa, had like a very bizarre instance in the 31-17 win for Seattle, where Seattle kicks it off after going up 17-14 early in the, I believe it was the fourth quarter, and it bounces in the landing zone as you want it to do. Caleb Johnson kind of touches it, or like doesn't touch it.
It just nicked his hand.
But it just keeps rolling, and he just runs towards the sideline, and the ball is still in play.
This is clearly like the rule has not been adequately received from the kicker. Once it hits the landing zone, it is like it's like every other kickoff.
You got to make a decision. Yeah.
And and even in the old rules, if it hits in the landing zone and you touch it, it doesn't matter like which rule was in play here.
Well, actually, kickoffs are live.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like you have to down the – and he just didn't down
it. You got to get the ball and make a decision.
So touchdown. He said, I just made a mistake. Got to stick to it, move on, and just continue to get better every day. And Mike Tomlin was like, it's poor judgment by a young player. And that's basically what he let it stay as.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, you better not let that happen again.
No.
Like that's a great way to get yourself out of here. And I know Caleb Johnson is a highly regarded running back. He is solid. That there's not a lot of tolerance for that in the NFL.
If he wasn't that, he would have been cut.
Oh,
if he was like a straight up special teamers or DeAndre Carter type
on that squad,
he would have got cut.
Yeah.
And I leave you with this, John Lopez. Apparently, the Ravens were planning to draft Shedeur Sanders in April, according to Adam Schefter. But when the Sanders family heard that, he let them know that he didn't want to be a situation behind a star quarterback like Lamar Jackson.
You want to be compared to Lamar Jackson?
No, not compared. Sit behind.
Yeah. Ain't going to happen.
Can you imagine making the decision where you're like, nope, don't want to be in that organization, and then you end up with the Browns?
Yeah.
I kind of get it, to be honest, man.
I do too.
I get it, because he ain't going to play behind Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And if I'm already in the fifth round, hey, I might as well go to a better situation.
Yeah.
I feel like, and maybe I just value the organizational structure of the Ravens too highly, because I do understand it. You're not, Lamar Jackson is entrenched for at least 5-6 years.
Yeah.
However, it did feel like you would get an opportunity to actually be in a good organization, which would be helpful.
And I think from his point of view too, he thought he was going to be a first round pick.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
And you in the fifth round now at this point. The last thing you want to do is sit behind a Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, who ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
Exactly.
Well, right now, apparently, there's reports, I can't remember if it was on ESPN Cleveland, that he's not even running the scout team. right now. So yeah, things not good.
Yeah, I mean, why would he, man? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
They shouldn't have drafted him, to be honest.
They are asking the question up there, like, why is he here if you're not mm-hmm. elite, yeah. you're not even going to let him run the scout team, help him develop, if whatever development you can get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 after what was a surprisingly good Sunday slate
of
games all the way through. And Monday, got to try and carry up that same energy as the Texans face off against the Bucs at 6 p.m. at NRG. All right, coming up next, let's talk, though, about the weekend for the Astros, where now they are no longer leading the AL West. Where's the hope, and have you lost it? 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.